have your Bible with you this evening, we'd like you to turn with us, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. Turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We shall begin our reading this evening at verse 15. Matthew 27 and the 15th verse. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Ending the reading at verse 26, we pray earnestly that God will add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy and infallible word. Once again, before we consider God's word for the meeting tonight, we need the Lord's help, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has promised to give that power in answer to prayer. And so let us all now seek the Lord in prayer. O our God and loving Father, we bow once again in thy holy presence. We bow before thee, the one and only true God, the one who inhabits eternity. The one at his very voice, the mountains will melt and flow down at his feet. O God, we know that thou art here this evening because we're met in the name of thy dear Son. And our Father and our God, we ask tonight that thou will come. And O gracious Lord, cause there to be the very stillness of eternity in this tent tonight. For, O God, there could be those in the meeting, and this is the last opportunity they will ever have of receiving Christ. This is perhaps the last gospel sermon they will ever hear. This is the last time they will ever hear those words, just as I am, without one plea. So, Lord, speak tonight. Grant to me, O God, the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, tonight I might preach the word with power, And the power of God will be at work in the service. And, O Lord, in all that we say tonight, may the great and wonderful name of Jesus Christ be exalted. And even now, Lord, strive with sinners. Draw them into the kingdom tonight. Rob hell of souls tonight. We pray in the Savior's name. And always for His honor and glory. Amen. Our text for this evening is a very well-known verse. And very well-known words. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was the crowning sin of our race. For in that barbaric act is found all the sins of mankind uniting in evil and foul conspiracy. Hatred is there. Revenge is there. Blasphemy is there. Cruelty is there. And murder. All the evils of human hearts of all ages were concentrated around the cross. Just as all the rivers run into the seas, and all the thunder clouds empty themselves upon the earth, so did all the crimes of man gather to the slaying of the Son of God. Again, just as the vultures hasten to their prey, so did all the sins of men hasten to the cross to make Christ their victim and make Christ their prey. That awful death upon the cross that day was only a few dark steps away for the Savior. Because the Savior, as He stood there before Pontius Pilate, the governor, soon the torch-bearing mob would take hold of the prisoner in the garden. Soon the bulls of Bashan would compass him about. Soon he who is the song of angels would become the song of the drunkard. Soon, across that hill, lone and gray, would be heard the dull blow of the hammer swung low as they would nail the Son of God to the tree. Soon the blood would flow. Soon the agony would begin. Soon the heavens would mourn. But before these things would take place, Pilate, the governor, before whom Christ stood, had a question to answer. It was the question of questions. It was an inescapable question. That question being, "What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And that question of questions, that inescapable question, must be answered in this tent meeting this evening. There are those in this service tonight who have already, and praise God, answered that question. What shall I do with Jesus? There are those tonight who have said in years gone by, even days gone by, I will have Jesus as my Savior. But then what about those gathered amongst us this evening? And as that question is put before you tonight, you have that question to answer. You must answer it tonight. It's not a matter of putting it off until tomorrow night or the last week of the mission or some other time in the near future. You must answer the question tonight. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You must ask that question of yourself this evening, because whether you will be in heaven or hell depends on how you answer that question. I'm telling you the truth, my friend. Whether you are in heaven with the saints of God and with Jesus Christ, or in hell with the damned souls for all eternity, depends on how you answer that question and how you answer it tonight. As we've said in other evenings, as we said last night, there's no way round it. There's no way over it. There's no way under it. You must face it head on. And you must challenge your own heart and challenge your own soul and say, what then will I do with Jesus in this tent meeting tonight? What you do with Christ tonight will determine whether or not you will suffer the consequences of your sin or the eternal joys of having sins forgiven and receiving Christ and His gift of salvation. So what are you going to do? You must answer it tonight. Just as Pilate had to answer the question, so must you. Mr. McRae answered that question years ago. So did I. So did many others tonight. Now it's your turn. Now it's at your door. Now it's before your eyes. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? When you look at these words that Pilate uttered, you see Pilate and his great dilemma. You see, the governor was caught that day in the horns of a dilemma. And what we immediately notice about this dilemma is that it was a very personal dilemma. For he said, what shall I do? Here was a decision which he must make. No one could make it for him. He was the governor. Here was a decision that I know he tried to leave to Herod to make. Herod wasn't having it, and he sent Christ back again to Pilate. There it was again, right before him. And he says to all those that stood before him, what shall I do with Jesus then? You have chosen Barabbas. What am I going to do with this man? I'm stuck with him, as it were, Pilate was saying. I have this decision to make. So what am I going to do with Jesus? It was his responsibility to give the answer. It was his reply to the question the people were waiting for. Pilate, what are you going to do with that man who stands before you? What are you going to do with that man who would soon have his back all bloodied, a thorny crown upon his brow and draped in a purple robe? What are you going to do with him? My dear friend, tonight in this gospel tent mission, that same figure stands before you tonight. I'm not talking about the preacher. That lonely, loving individual who stood that day before Pilate the governor, that lonely figure called Jesus Christ stands before you in this tent tonight through this gospel. As assured as Pilate had the decision to make about the one who stood before him that day, you must decide what you're going to do with that same person tonight. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'm sure you already know Jesus means Savior. Christ means the Anointed One. And Jesus Christ is the Anointed Savior of God, sent into the world to save sinners just like you. Now, what are you going to do with them? I present him to you tonight in the gospel. I say here this evening hour, here, take Jesus Christ, make him your Savior. I say tonight, receive him. I will advise you tonight what to do with Jesus. I would advise you to receive Christ. Mr. McRae would advise you to receive Christ. Mr. Baxter would advise you to receive Christ. Christians in this tent tonight would advise you to receive Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I say tonight, I advise you, receive him. He'll save your soul. He'll take away your sins. He'll pardon your iniquities. He'll prepare you for heaven. And glory to God, he'll save you from hell. That's what I would advise you to do. Take Jesus. It was a personal dilemma. It was also a very pressing dilemma. See, the elders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the mob were all pressing Pilate to make the decision. In fact, as far as they were concerned, he had waited too long anyway. The antagonists, they wanted him to make a decision, and he should, as far as they were concerned, have made it a long time ago. Maybe we could take that thought and that truth and apply it tonight. You should have made that decision a long time ago. Maybe a long time ago, maybe days ago, maybe last night, you made that decision and you said, I don't want this man to rule over me. Well, here's the Lord, and he's giving you another opportunity tonight. Isn't he merciful? Isn't he merciful? Isn't he kind, and isn't he long-suffering? He's giving you a chance again tonight. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? For Pilate, this was a pressing question. This was something he couldn't put off until the next day. The whole mob was there, all ready and armed to go. The soldiers were all prepared. They'd been standing in the wings, plaiting the crown of thorns. They were waiting there with the reed in their hand. They were ready to mock him. They were ready to bow down before him. They were all ready to spit upon him. They were all waiting now on Pilate. What was he going to do? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? This was a pressing question. My friend, it's just as pressing tonight. I'm telling you, it's just as pressing tonight. Listen. Don't talk about tomorrow night. Don't talk about next week or leaving it to near the end of the mission. Whatever you do, don't think about having plenty of time. You don't have plenty of time. The countdown has already started. Maybe it's near at zero. And here you've been sitting tonight, and you've been sitting for years dilly-dallying over the question, what are you going to do with Jesus? Do you know what will happen? You'll dilly-dally and linger until the day comes whenever they say over your remains, dust to dust, earth to earth, and ashes to ashes. You'll wait till then. And you don't need me to tell you then, it'll be too late. Your chance, your opportunity's now. Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is a word that you don't find in the devil's calendar. No, the devil says, tomorrow. Tomorrow. The Lord doesn't talk about tomorrow. D.L. Moody, in one of his great gospel campaigns, preached the gospel with all of his heart in the city of Chicago. At the end of the service, after having presented the people with the claims of Christ, he told them to go home and think about it, and he says, I'll see you tomorrow night. And before he pronounced the benediction, the fire bells were ringing in Chicago. That was the night of the great Chicago fire. And many of the people who were in the tent that night and heard Moody preach never returned. They went out into eternity. And D.L. Moody lamented that night that he had given people an ultimatum or given them a chance and said to them, come back tomorrow night. Moody says, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. I'll never tell people to go home and think about it and come back tomorrow night. Well, I have learned from D.L. Moody. And I have no intention this evening of saying to you, go home and come back tomorrow night. After you've thought about it. No, I want you to do what you need to do right now. I want you to receive Christ tonight. Now. And you can do that. Where you're sitting in that chair right now, you can bow your head and lift your heart to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, save me now. And you know something? He'll do it. Now. It's a pressing question. It was a particular dilemma. You see, this wasn't just any decision that Pilate had to make. This was a particular decision. This was a particular dilemma. Because, you see, the prisoner who stood before him was no ordinary prisoner. This wasn't a thief or a murderer. This was the Son of God who stood before Pilate. This was the great miracle worker of Galilee. This person who stood before him was Jesus, the King of the Jews. And you see, Pilate's decision concerned the King of the Jews. It concerned the Son of God. It concerned Jesus Christ. Pilate, you know, I don't think realized. I don't think he realized that night that the one who stood before him, that humble, humiliated, hated individual, standing there that day, clothed in shepherd's garments, that Pilate would see that same person one day. I think that when Pilate made his decision that day regarding Christ, that that would be the end of it. He'd never see that man of sorrows. He'd never see Jesus of Nazareth again. He was wrong. Because you see, the next time that Pilate will see Jesus Christ, he will see him sitting on the great white throne. He'll see him sitting on that throne, robed in garments wondrously fair, crowned with many crowns, with all the hosts of heaven at his beck and call. No, he'll not stand before Pilate or sit on that throne before Pilate in all his humility. He'll not stand there or appear before Pilate in the same way that Pilate saw him that day. But he'll see Christ again as the great judge. And where Christ stood before Pilate, Pilate will one day stand before Christ. And you will too. Because you see, this is the person you're dealing with tonight. You're dealing with Jesus Christ. You're dealing with the Son of God. You're dealing with God the Son. This isn't any person. Mark the words, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He's the anointed Savior of God. He is God. My friend, I want you to get that into your mind and get a hold of that truth. You're dealing tonight not with a preacher, you're dealing with God. And the question is, what are you going to do tonight with God? How are you going to treat the Son of God? What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Because that's who you're dealing with. Not just any person. So you get the picture. This wasn't any decision. This was a decision, the decision of Pilate's life. I tell you, as governor, he had many decisions to make. This was the greatest decision Pilate would ever make. This was the decision of his life. And what you do with Christ tonight is the decision of your life. Because what you do tonight with Jesus will determine your eternity. It's your eternity that rests upon your decision tonight. Think of that. This isn't just about what kind of dress you'll buy or what kind of coat you'll wear. Or where you'll go in your holidays. Or where your next place of employment will be. Or what kind of car you're going to buy. Not at all, my friend. No, this is a decision about eternity. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Tell me, what are you going to do with Jesus? Put aside all the notions you have, all the ideas you have about Christians and about religion. Put them all aside. Just get this one question into your mind. And take to heart tonight and say, preacher, you're right. I have a decision to make tonight in this tent, and it concerns Jesus Christ. It concerns my soul. It concerns my eternity. That's it. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it, my friend. Play the man tonight. Play the man tonight. Face up to this question and make the right decision and say, it's Christ for me tonight. Why not? Why not tonight? I notice for Pilate, it was a grave decision. Oh, Pilate, what decision did you have? What decision did you make? Tell us, Pilate, what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with him after all? What did you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'll tell you what his decision was. Crucify him. That was his decision. Crucify him. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And that's exactly what he did. He let him be crucified. You notice this was a considered decision. You'll notice certainly of Pilate, he didn't rush into it. There were those who thought he took too much time, but it was a considered decision. First of all, he had to consider the innocence of the prisoner. He had to take that into consideration. The innocence of the prisoner, he said in verse 24, he's a just person. In Luke 23, he said, I find no fault in him. And so here you have this position. Here's Pilate. And he says, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he made his decision, and he delivered him to be crucified. What do you think of that? An innocent man. He put an innocent man to death. Now, if you heard that today, if you read that in some newspaper, what would you say? You would say, shame, shame. You would say it's a shame that an innocent man was imprisoned for life or an innocent man was put to death. You would say that, wouldn't you? And I would be with you on it. What are you doing with Jesus? Sure, you're doing the same thing. You're doing exactly the same thing. The question is, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And in the past, you've made your decision, and by deciding against the Lord, you've said, crucify him. It's been your decision. But as I said, the Lord in grace has given you another opportunity. You know, I believe as far as Pilate is concerned, his condemnation was greater. And he had been doomed and damned to the lowest place in hell because he sentenced an innocent man to death. knowing he was innocent, knowing he was a just man, he's in hell tonight, this same Pilate. Decided against an innocent man. You decide against Christ tonight, you're deciding against an innocent man. Let me ask you, what has the Lord Jesus ever done against you? What is it? What has he ever done against you? What crime has he committed against you? How has he harmed you? How has he troubled you? How has he brought you sorrow? How has he brought you pain? How has he brought you suffering? You can search your life and you can search your heart, and I would believe tonight you would have to witness and you'd have to testify, Jesus Christ has not done anything against me. So then why do you reject him? Why do you turn your back on him? Why do you say, not this man? Why? The innocence of the prisoner. Pilate also had to consider the interruption of his partner, his wife. She had had a dream that night, and she interrupted the proceedings, and she came with a message to her husband. She said, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things in the dream this day because of him. His wife. His wife. Said to her husband, husband, do the right thing. Whatever you do, husband, don't raise your hand against Jesus Christ. Wonder, is there a husband or a wife here tonight? And you've been spoken to by your partner, by your husband, or by your wife. And for long as you can remember, since you met her or met him, or since they got saved, they've been exhorting you to do the right thing with Jesus Christ. They've been saying, husband, why don't you receive my Savior? They've been saying, wife, why don't you come to my Savior? They've been exhorting you, advising you to do the right thing. Why haven't you done the right thing? Why do you still refuse the Son of God? Why do you still refuse Christ? Do you not love your wife? Do you not love your husband? Why do you not take their advice? Why do you not say, wife, I must have your Savior? Why do you not say, husband, I will have your Savior? Why do you go on breaking your partner's heart? Why? Surely you have a love for them. Surely you wouldn't do anything to hurt them. But let me tell you something, by your refusal of Jesus Christ, you are hurting them. And you're hurting them where it hurts most, in the heart. And every time you hear the gospel, they're hoping, they're trusting, they're praying that you'll get saved, but you get up and you walk out, and it's another dagger plunged into the heart. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. How often have you been advised to receive the Lord? Again, I put it to you. Do you not love your parents? because they love you. The person who loves you most is the person who cares for your soul. Now, why do you go on? Why do you go on turning your back on Jesus? Why not put things right tonight? Come on. Why not put things right tonight? There's something else Pilate had to consider, and that was the insistence of the people. They insisted that they crucify the Lord. And what do we find? We find that Pilate went along with the crowd. That's what they asked for. Crucify Christ and release Barabbas. And that's what Pilate did. He gave him over to be crucified. He went with the crowd. That's what you've been about, isn't it? You don't want to break away from the crowd. They might laugh at you. You don't want to leave those drinking buddies of yours. You don't want to miss out on those nights in the club. You don't want to leave the crowd. Pilate didn't want to leave the crowd. He went with the crowd. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something for nothing. Pilate is still with the crowd. He's still with the crowd. Where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched, he's still there with the crowd. You need to do what's right. For Pilate, this was a cruel decision. Acknowledge that the Lord Jesus was innocent, knowing what death by crucifixion involved, he still decided against the Savior. It's hard to take in, isn't it? We are sensitive to hurting or offending the Lord. We love him so much. We're sensitive to doing anything that would offend him. And yet here is this wicked man. And he made this cruel decision. He delivered him up to be crucified. That decision Pilate made that day meant that Pilate had a part in the scourging of Christ. He had a part in the beating of Christ. He had a part in the buffeting of Jesus Christ. He had a part in the barbaric treatment of Jesus Christ. He might as well have cut down the tree and formed it into a cross. His signature was upon the nails. He had his hand upon the hammer. Whenever he said, "Let him be crucified," he had a part in everything that was done to Jesus Christ that day. You ask me, what did Pilate do? What did he do with Jesus? I say tonight, look away to the cross. I say, look away to him hanging on that center tree erected there on Golgotha's brow. I say, look at that lacerated back. Pilate had a part in that. I say, look at that thorn-crowned brow. Pilate had a part in that. Look at that visage marred more than any man's. Pilate had a part in that. Look at how the blood flows. Look how the blood flows from his brow, his hands and his feet and his back. Pilate had a part in that. And I want to say this, if you get nothing else out of this meeting tonight, I want you to hear this. If you decide against Jesus Christ this evening, your sin is as great as the sin of Pontius Pilate. Pilate rejected Christ, and you're doing the same thing. Your sin is the sin of Pontius Pilate. Your crime is the crime of Pontius Pilate. Your decision is the decision of Pontius Pilate. And your damnation will be the damnation of Pontius Pilate. What are you going to do? There's no point. There's no point fooling around. There's no point trying to paint a pretty picture that'll make you feel comfortable and all fuzzy all over as you leave this tent tonight. If you go out of this meeting troubled, I say, praise the Lord. If you go home tonight and you can't sleep because of what you heard in this tent, I say, praise the Lord. May you not sleep tonight, may you not sleep tomorrow night, may you not sleep the next night until you decide for Christ. Because this is serious business. This is serious business. We're dealing with your soul, we're dealing with eternity. We're dealing with heaven, we're dealing with hell, we're dealing with your sin, we're dealing with salvation. That's a serious business. I ask you tonight to look away to the cross. I ask you to look away to him who hangs in that center tree. He was innocent, so why was he there? He committed no crime. Why was he there? He did no wrong. Why was he there? Why was he numbered with the transgressors? Why was he crucified like a common criminal? Even Judas Iscariot said he's innocent. Pilate's wife said he's a just person. Herod could not find any fault in him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Why then was he there? Why then did he die? Why was he crucified? I'll tell you why. Because he came to save sinners just like you. That's why. And there are those in the tent tonight, and they once stood at that cross. And they saw one who was wounded for their transgressions and bruised for their iniquities. And they realized Jesus died for me. I told you on Sabbath evening that night that I realized Jesus died for me and he became my best friend. I have in my notes the words of the hymn that Mrs. Baxter sang. I didn't know she was going to sing that tonight. Behold the man upon the cross. My sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed. Ashamed. I hear my mocking voice cry out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left him there. Until it was accomplished, his dying breath hath brought me life. I know it is finished. But it was my sin that nailed him there. I did it. My hand was on the hammer. I held the nails. And by my actions, I was saying, drive them in and drive them deep. And then that lovely Savior one day rescued me and forgave me for what I did to him. He'll do the same for you. Just one more thought. We'll be finished. Whenever Pilate made his decision, he scourged him. He delivered him to be crucified. Jesus Christ never spoke to Pilate again. Any conversation between Pilate and the Lord Jesus was finished. That was the end. Never spoke again. You turn against Christ tonight, and all conversations between the Lord and you may be finished. You never get another opportunity. You may never get another chance. So I ask you now, again, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Remember what we said. Don't hurry out of the meeting. Don't say, I better get out of this tent, get away home. Think now. I'm not going to say, wait until tomorrow night. No, now. What are you going to do with Jesus right now, this night? Let's bow our heads in prayer.